Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Mem Gimel. When I'm dictating this, this is Yud Nisan. This is my father's yard site, Yosef Nisan and Yecheskel Avi Mari, my holy father, and I dedicate all the shiurim to him, especially today's shiur. This should be an ilui for his holy neshama. We begin in the middle of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. We're halfway through the Daf already of Amud Aleph, and we're about 2-3 lines into the Tosos. That's Dibur Amaskel Maihi. So we begin with the words. Shalach Rav Chiya Bar Oven. Rav Chiya Bar Oven sent the following halachic statement to the other Talmidim, and he said, Ma'arsin Toch Gimel. We are allowed to go and make an erisin within the 3-month period of time. We don't have to go and wait the Havchana period of time if you're just doing erisin. V'chein Osim Aisa. This is what the rabbis practically halachic l'maisa did. As Rashi says, Klomer, Kach Reisi Minhok Chachamim Osim. This is what I saw with my own eyes. It's one thing to hear something in the base medrash, but when you see it practiced halach l'maisa, that carries a lot of weight. Similarly, V'chein Oyar Rabbi Elazar Melamdenu Mishum Rabbi Chinina Hagadol. And this was also the practice that the great Rabbi Elazar said over in the name of the great Rabbi Chinina Hagadol. And he said, all you have to do is wait Rubel Shal Rishon, V'rubo Shal Shlishi, you have to wait part of the first month, part of the last month, and the middle month has to be the entire month. Again, a great discussion amongst the poskim, exactly what he's referring to, whether it's the actual 30-day period of time, or is it talking about the actual month of the calendar that has to be the majority of that month. In any event, he's saying it doesn't have to be the full 3 months of the Havchana that we've been saying till now. This is for Erison. Similarly, Ameimar, Shor Le'ares, Biom Tishim. Ameimar didn't make you wait the full 92 days, which we said previously, and the Gemara today is going to say, is that the 90-day waiting period of time that we're talking about doesn't include the day of the death or the day of the divorce, and doesn't include the day that you're going to get married, the Erison. So therefore, he allowed them a little bit earlier. Ameimar permitted them to go and make the Erison on day 90. So it's, again, a little bit before the entire 3-month period of time is completed, the Havchana period of time. Amar Rav Ashi Lameima. Rav Ashi questions Lameima and he says, Vo Rav Shmuel, the Amar Tavayu, both Rav and Shmuel said, Tzrichim Hamtin Shlosha Chadoshim Chutz Miyom Shemesbo Chutz Miyom Shenisarasebo. But wait a second, this seems to go against your ruling, Lameima, seems to go against what both Rav and Shmuel said, that if a woman Nebuch lost her husband, so she has to go and wait 3 months period of time. Again, this is usually considered 90 days, 30-month days. And the day before, which is the day that the husband died, chutz miyom shemesbo, and the chutz miyom shenisarasebo, and not including the day that she's getting the first stage of marriage, the erison, the kiddushin. So therefore, how could you, Ameimar, rule against Rav Shmuel? So Ameimar says, no, you misunderstood what Rav Shmuel said. How will the inyan may nekes itmar? That was said in regard to a woman who's nursing. There, Rav Shmuel both said, Rav Shmuel, the Amri Tavayu, Tzrichel Hamtin Esum Arbo Chodesh, she has to go and wait 24 months. Again, discussion exactly how you calculate these 24 months. I'm not going to go into that right now, but you have to wait 24-month period of time, which was the normal time in those days that they would nurse a baby. And this doesn't include Chutz Miyom Shenolabo, doesn't include the day that the baby was born, and it doesn't include Chutz Miyom Shenisarasebo, and the day that she's going to get the first stage of marriage, the Erison. So here, Rav Shmuel made their statement about the day before the start of the count and the day after the start of the count is completed. So that was in regards to Yanika, that was in regards to nursing, and not in regards to the Havchana period of time after a woman Nebuch lost her husband. So that's how Ameimar responded to Rav Ashi. Ay, the Gemara says, how would the Ovet Sudas Erisim Yom Tishin? How can you, Ameimar, say that it doesn't apply to the Havchana period of time? We see that once a person made a Suda, which was a Sudas Erisin, and Rava said, no, you can't have the Sudas Erisin today, and he caused him to lose all that money. He paid all the caterers and everything, but he didn't allow the Sudas Erisin to go on, and that was on day 90. So therefore, he didn't wait the extra day. So the Gemara says, no, that wasn't a Sudas Erisin. Hahi Sudas Nisuin Havoy. That was a Sudas Nisuin. And that would really lead to a potential problem of Havchana. And you must wait the full period of time. He didn't wait the full period of time. So Rava constant him. Rava punished him in the sense that he couldn't use that Suda and he lost whatever money he put out for that Suda. How do we pass it? The Gemara comes to the conclusion and says, Hilchasa, the halach is as follows. Tzrichin Hamtin Esrim Yabar Chodesh. For a nursing mother, you have to wait to 24 complete months. Chutz miyom shenolad bo, not including the day that the baby was born, and not including the chutz miyom shenisarasebo, and not including the day that the woman is getting her first stage of marriage, the kiddushin, the erisin. Again, there's a lot of interesting discussion as to how to calculate this 24-month period of time. There is one opinion that says it's actually talking about two solar years. And there's actually an interesting gematria based upon the word Lo Sevashel Gediba Chalev Imo, and that the word Sevashel in gematria is 732, which is a combination of two 365 solar day years and the additional day before and the additional day afterwards. So that's from the Be'iri. But the simple understanding is it's talking about 24 months and the extra day before and the extra day afterwards. So that's in regards to the unique period of time. And the halacha continues with Tzricha L'hamtim Shlosh Chadashim, and for the Havchana period of time, you have to wait. Before you do even an Erisin, you have to wait the 90-day wait period of time, and that again, Chutz doesn't include Miyom Shemes Bo, the day that the person Nebuch passed away, the woman's husband passed away, and it doesn't include Chutz Miyom Shenis Arisabo, and the day of the Erisin. So it's again a 92-day period of time, 90 days of the Havchana, and then it doesn't start to count until the day after the death, and it doesn't start that she's allowed to get married until after the full 90-day period. Okay, then we go back and we quote the Mishnah, which said, Chutz min Amona v'chulei. This is the opinion of Yossi that we brought down. He said that any woman, even a woman who was previously married, the full Nisuin, is allowed to go into Erisin. One exception to that rule, he said, not including an Amona. A woman who was widowed because of Avil, because of the Avelis period of time, can't get married right away with the first stage of marriage, Erisin, but she has to wait the 30 days because of Avelis. Amr Rav Chista comments on this and he says, Kal v'chomer. There should be a Kal v'chomer that would go against what Rav Yossi said. What's the Kal v'chomer? In a situation when you're not allowed to do laundry, for example, the Shuah Shechalbo, the week that Tisha B'Av falls out in, we have a rabbinical decree that you're not allowed to go do kibbutz, you can't do laundry. Nevertheless, during that week, you're allowed to have erisin, so certainly, Malkum Shemut Alechabes, in a situation where you're allowed to do laundry, such as the Avelus period of time of the 30 days, you can't do the laundry during the Shiva, but you are allowed to do the laundry after the Shiva is over, during the rest of the Shloshim. So therefore, if you're allowed to do the laundry there, so certainly, Enodin Shemut Aris, you should be allowed to do Erisin. Again, if you can't do laundry during the Shua Shechabo, yet you can do Erisin, so in a period of mourning where you can do the laundry, such as the rest of the Shloshim after the Shiva is over, so certainly you should be allowed to do Erisin. So this Kal v'chomer seems to go against what Rav Yossi said. So Gemara says, where do we see that you're not allowed to do the laundry during the Shur Shechabo? It's from the following Mishnah. Ma'i Ditznan. We didn't learn it that long ago. This was towards the end of Tainis. And it said, Shabbos Shechol Tisha B'Av B'Socha. When Shur Shechabo, you have the week the Tisha B'Av falls out in. So in that week, also L'Saper, you're not allowed to go take a haircut or shave. U'L'Chabbos, you're not allowed to do the laundry. Uvachamishi, if Tisha B'Av falls out on a Friday, however, then, somewhat paradoxically, on the day before Tisha B'Av, Uvachamishi, in order to prepare for Shabbos, Mutter, you're allowed to go and do the laundry. Some say you're also allowed to even take a haircut and shave. Mipnei, why? Kvod Shabbos, because otherwise you're going to go into Shabbos without clean clothing. You're going to Shabbos all disheveled, and that we don't want to do. So therefore, if Tisha B'Av comes out on a Friday, which isn't the way our calendar ever can be, but at least during the days when you were Makadish via Edim, so Tisha B'Av could fall out on a Friday. So then in that situation, the day before Tisha B'Av, somewhat paradoxically, has loosened up its restrictions because of Kavod Shabbos, that you can do the laundry and possibly also take a shave and a haircut. And Betanya, it said in the Braisa, Kodem Hazman Hazeh, before this period of time, in other words, this is another description over here for the Shvur Shechabo, during the Shvur Shechabo, Ha'om mimatim biskeim, they have to minimize their business, they should only do essential business. Ha'om mimatim biskeim, miliso militein, don't go and do all the regular business activities, only things that are going to cause you a financial loss if you don't do them, you should try to minimize your business dealings. Likewise, milivnos, you shouldn't go and build non-essential houses, houses for pleasure, houses for things that aren't essential. If the roof is leaking, you're allowed to do and fix that. But you shouldn't go build a new house or new items. Vilintoi shouldn't do new planting. Arsin, and you're allowed to have Arsin from Tisha B'Av until the Shur Shechabo. Avolo Konsin, but you shouldn't go and actually consummate the marriage. You don't do Nisuin. The Ein Osin Sudas Arsin, and you don't make a Sudas Arsin during this period of time as well. But it's just a Sudas Arsin that you don't make. The implication is that you are allowed to enter into Nisuin during the week of Tisha B'Av. So again, the Braisa says exactly what we brought down in the Mishnah, that during the Shur Shechabo, it's forbidden to go do the laundry, You can't have a sudas erisin, but you're allowed to have erisin. So again, both the Mishnah and the Braisa seem to go against what Rav Yossi said. So the Gemara says, no. Kitanya hi, when we said over here in this Braisa that we were talking about kodem zman hazeh, it didn't mean during the Shur Shechabo, it meant kodem de kodem. Now you can be goes the word tanya na, but it means that in this Braisa, you are talking about from the start of the 9 days until the Shavuot Shechabo. During that period of time, you can do both kibbutz, you can do the laundry, and you're allowed to have erisin. But during the Shavuot Shechabo, both of them are forbidden. You can't do the laundry, and you can't have erisin, and therefore there is no Kal v'chomer, and therefore Rav Yossi has no problem. Nevertheless, Amar Rav, Rav said, v'kodem dekodem, nami Kal v'chomer, but he says even in the period of time, from Tisha B'Av until the Shavuot Shechabo, we would have a Kal v'chomer that seems to go against Rav Yossi. What's this Kal v'chomer? Uma b'mokum sh'osu lisov liten in this situation. Well, you're not allowed to do business. We said you should minimize your business. You shouldn't do transactions, any business dealings that aren't essential. Nevertheless, mutar li'aris, but we just pointed out, while you can't have a sudas erisin, you're allowed to have erisin. So certainly, makom shemutar li'sov liten, a person is allowed to do business during the shloshim. During the shiv, he's not allowed to, but during the shloshim, he is allowed to engage in business and go back to work. So then certainly, kal v'chomer, ein udin shemutar li'aris, you certainly should be allowed to do erisin. So again, we reinstated this kal v'chomer. If during the period of time, started the 9 days until Shavuot Shechabo, you're not supposed to do a lot of business, yet you can have erisin. So certainly in a situation where you are allowed to do business during the period of time of the Shloshim, after the Shiva, so if you're allowed to do business, then certainly you should allow to be do erisin then. So how can Rav Yossi say that a woman who never lost her husband is forbidden in erisin during the entire Shloshim? So the Gemara wants to now say, let's change around our understanding of Rav Yossi. Again, we're going to reject this in a few moments and leave our original understanding of Rav Yossi correct. Right now, the Megora wants to suggest, so therefore, lo tema, the Rav Yossi Omer, don't therefore say the Rav Yossi's opinion in the Mishnah is, kol hanoshim yisarisu, not all women are allowed to have erisin, but Rav Yossi is really telling us, ela ema, kol hanoshim yinasu. Now we're going to make Rav Yossi have an unbelievably cooler dikashita. He's going to say that all women, even those that are entering into nisuin, are allowed to go and get married without a havchana period of time. So here talking about nisuin. Yeah, you're not allowed to have nisuin because of avelus. So if the woman never lost her husband, while she can undergo erisin, she can't undergo nisuin during the shloshim. That's, therefore, no longer a problem with the Kal v'chomer, but it totally changes around our understanding of what Rav Yossi Shita is. And we turn to Mem Gimel Omid Beis. Where it says, according to this, the less Leila Rav Yossi Lahavchin. So clearly, the way you just understood it, that Rav Yossi permits Nisuin for everybody right away. Only exception is the woman who never lost her husband because of Avela, she can't have Nisuin. So that means there's no Havchana period according to Rav Yossi. And where it says, Itaka, yeah, Leslie, he doesn't hold from Havchana. Rav Yossi's opinion is very makel, he doesn't hold from Havchana. Where it says, alternatively, Vibai Seima, no. Leolam Islay. In fact, Rav Yossi does hold from Avchana. So then, how do you understand Rav Yossi's statement? Understand it this way. Deima, Rav Yossi Omer, kol arusos gerushos yiniso. Then a woman who was a gerusha, she was divorced, but she'd only had the first stage of marriage. She was an arusa, and she had gerushin from her erisin, so she's allowed to go and get married right away. And such a woman, however, if it were to be that her husband had passed away, she wouldn't be allowed to undergo nisuin because of avelus. But nisuin, he does hold from the havchana period of time. We're only talking here about erisin. So an erisin from gerishin would be allowed to go and have nisuin right away. But if it was a nisua, they would not allow to be having nisuin right away. They would go and require the havchana period of time. Where it says, Ihachi, so then, if that's so, so then Hainu Rav Yehuda. So this is exactly the sheet of Rav Yehuda. How could there be any difference between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi that our Mishnah lists them as two separate opinions? After all, Rav Yehuda also said that a woman who is going from erisin is allowed to have nisuin right away because there's no concern of a pregnancy if it was only erisin. So Gemara says, what's the difference between Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda? Ika benayi, there is a difference between them. Nisua le'ores. Can a woman who had been previously fully married, can she undergo erisin? In that situation, Rav Yehuda sabar, nisua muteres le'ores. He permitted it both ways. Rav Yehuda permitted a woman who either was divorced or her husband died from erisin to go and have immediate nisuin. And that's the first thing that he permitted. And he also permitted also a woman who was a nisua to go and have erisin right away. She can't have nisuin right away, but she could have erisin right away. But Rav Yossi saw it, no. Nesuah, Asur, Asura, Leores. Rav Yossi disagreed with the second part. He didn't allow a woman who had Nesuah previously to undergo Erusin right away. So that's the difference between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi. More questions is, really? Misava Rav Yossi, Nesuah, Asura, Leores? Did Rav Yossi really say that a woman who had Nisuin and now she's either divorced or her husband died cannot have Erusin right away? But that's not true. The Brisa says otherwise. Vatanya, Rav Yossi Omer, Kol HaNoshim Yisarsu. This Brisa that we just brought down a moment ago tells us that Rav Yossi's opinion is that all women, even those that are coming out of Nisuin, are allowed to have Erusin right away. One exception being Chutzman Amana, except for an Amana, Nebuchadnezzar, her husband passed away, b'nei ha'evil, because of the concern of the Shloshim period of time, that you're not allowed to have even Erusin during that period of time, according to this understanding of Rav Yossi. Chutzman Amana, b'nei ha'evil. And how long is this period of mourning, v'kama evil shalah? That's Shloshim Yom. This is during the Shloshim. V'kulan lo yinasu ashu lehem Shloshim Chadashim. But to undergo Erusin, that's only the period of time you don't have to wait at all. But to undergo Nisuit, then you have to wait the 90-day period of time, the Shloshim Chadashim of Havchana. Now, I might kusha, how is this a kasha on Rav Yossi? Ilema, they're going to tell me that it's talking about, the Bryce is talking about the Ktane, Rav Yossi Omer, Kol HaNoshim Yisarsu, that he's talking about any woman is allowed to enter Erusin, which includes even a woman that previously had Nisuin, so that's not necessarily so. Mi Alima, Mi Mas Nisin. Why would we take our understanding of this Bryce more than we would take the Mishnah? The Mishnah, we had explained, also said that all women are allowed to enter Erusin right away, but we understood that is not talking about Nisuin, Dokimna, only Barusos Girushos Niso. We just explained that the Mishnah is talking about only an Arusa who had Gerushin. So she's allowed to go and get married, even full Nisuin, right away. No Havchana period of time is necessary. So if that's how we understood the Mishnah, Hachanami, so then let's understand this Bryce in the same way. When it says Kol Anoshim, it doesn't mean all women. It means Kol Arusos Girushos Niso. It meant that if a woman was an Arusa and she had Gerushin, she didn't have a full marriage, so then she's allowed to go and have a full marriage right away. She doesn't have any Havchana period of time. So that's not the problem to Rav Yossi. Elami Sefer. So what do you want to suggest is the problem to Rav Yossi? From the Brisa's end, what did the Brisa Sefer say? The Ktani, it said, V'chulun lo yinasu achshu lehem shlosha chadashim. It said, to undergo Nisuin, then you have to wait the full 90-day period of time, the three-month period of time, for Havchana. Now, it says, in Suve Hudalo, it says that they can't have a full marriage. In Suve, they can't have Nisuin. Implication being, ha itruse shaper dummy. So here you clearly see that even according to the Brisa, Rav Yossi says that if you're leaving Nisuin, you're allowed to go and enter into Erusin right away. You just can't go into Nisuin right away. So basically, again, how can you tell me that Rav Yossi and Yehuda differ on this then, that Rav Yehuda says after the Nisuin you can enter into Erusin, and it was Rav Yossi who said that after the Nisuin you can't enter right into Erusin? We just explained it. You can, according to Rav Yossi. So again, what's the nafkamina? What's the difference between Rav Yossi and Yehuda? We seem to have two shittas over here. So I'm a rabbi. Rabbi says, Taritzei Mahachi. You can teach it up the Brisa in the following way to show that there's a difference between Rav Yossi and Yehuda. Rav Yossi Omer, Kol Arusos Gerushos Yiso, that if all women are, if they went through Erusin only and they had Gerushin from the Erusin, so they can get fully married right away, with one exception, Chusman Amonim Bnei Eva, because of the concern of Avelus, if Nebuch, the woman, was a widow rather than a Gerusha, so then she can't get married right away, because you can't have the Nisuin during the mourning, the 30-day period of time, the mourning period of time, the Kama Ibul Shalah, and how long is this period of time? Shloshim Yom, as I just said. Unisuos, but if a woman was a Nisua, then Lo Yisarsu, then she can't even undergo Erusin. Actually, Ilhan Shlosh Chadashim. Then we have a Gzeira over here that she can't go and even have Erusin, which doesn't potentially have a pregnancy potential. Nevertheless, we make a Gzeira that she can't go and have even Erusin for the full three-month period of time. So now the way we've understood this is that Rav Yossi, in fact, doesn't permit a Nesua to enter Erusin, and Rav Yehuda does. This is the difference between Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda. Gemara is still not happy, however. Gemara says, V'yamana min ha'erusin mi yislo evil. So wait a second. If you're an Amana only from Erusin, so again, how do we have any period of time of mourning? After all, we learned in another Brisa, Votani Rav Chiya Bar Ami. Rav Chiya Bar Ami said that Ishto Arusa, if a man had a wife who was only the first stage of marriage, and then Nebuch, she passed away before he could take her into the full second stage, the full Nisuin Chuppah stage of marriage. So his wife is only an arusa, ishto arusa, and nebuch she dies, lo onen, he doesn't have the din of aninus for her, and he is not obligated to go bury her, because only if by taking her in and having the chuppah, when all the obligations of the ksuba come into play, so because he's entitled to certain things, so one of the things he's responsible to do is to go and be responsible to bury his wife, and therefore the aninus kicks in. If he's a kohen, he's normally allowed to be mitami to his full-fledged wife. Kohen's not allowed to normally come tami tumas meis, but for the seven relatives, which includes his fully married wife, he would be obligated to go and be mitami law. But here, he wouldn't be allowed to go be mitami law because the regular issa of a kohen being forbidden to be mitami the tumas meis would apply to a wife that was only an arusa. It's only a nesua that he can be mitami to, but not an arusa. And vice versa, if he, Nebuch, is the one to die, the chayin he, in that situation, she, lo amenis, she doesn't have the din of aninus for him, the lo mitama law, we had explained this previously in two ways. One is that she's not obligated to, she's allowed to, because the din, even if she's a bas kohen, or an ashes kohen, there is no problem in such a woman becoming tameh. So the simple way to understand this is that she's not obligated to become tameh for him, but she'd be allowed to if she wanted to. But then others explain that we're dealing here, and you can see this in the Likutei Rashi that are on the daf, where it brings down from Rashi in Rosh Hashanah, where it says, "Linira lo mitame kagon beregel." That we're dealing over here with the Shlosh Regalim, when there's a mitzvah to bring korbanos and to eat the korbanos, and therefore to be tar even for Yisrael. She is Yisraelim musharim ala tuma during that period of time that they should be able to eat the korbanos. So therefore, that's what it refers to when it says that she shouldn't become tamei to him. Yet there is this concept by the regalim that a person should become tar. That's why there's a minhag many people have that they, even if they don't go to the mikveh every day, they try to go to the mikveh before the shlosh regalim. Furthermore, the Braitza continues, may, so if she were to die, eino yarsha, he doesn't have the right to inherit her because they didn't have the full second stage of marriage. It's only the nisuin that gives him that right. And may, so if he were to die, gova ksubasa, she does collect, however, her ksuba. So how can you tell me, after we learn this Braisa, that there is a concept of Avelis? We just said there is no concept of Avelis after just the Erisin by all of the items that we just mentioned. So the Gemara says, you're right. There's no way we can understand Rav Yossi the way we just did. So we go back to our fundamental, original understanding of Rav Yossi. In other words, he allows a woman who was in Nesua to enter Erisin right away. The one exception was the woman who was a widow. And because of the 30-day period of time of the Shloshim of mourning, he didn't allow that. But then we have the Kal V'chomer question that comes back, and that Kal V'chomer would seem to imply that she should be allowed to if during the Tisha B'Av Shavuot Shechabo period of time there is no permission to do laundry, yet she's allowed to have Erisin. So during the Shloshim, when you're allowed to do laundry, certainly you should be allowed to go and do Erisin. So why did Rav Yossi say that you can't? So the Gemara answers Ela Tanoihi. This is, in fact, a Machlokes Tanoim. During the Shavuot Shechabo, the Tanya, we learned in the following Braisa, May Rosh Chodesh, V'yada Tainis, from the start of Rosh Chodesh Av until Tisha B'Av, Ha'am Mimatin, May Iskein, Milisa, Umilite. The people go and minimize their business activities. Okay, that everybody agrees to. Milivnos Lintoa, you shouldn't go and build items of Simcha, and you shouldn't go plant items of Simcha. Everybody agrees. Umiliares umilisa, and it says you shouldn't do erisin and you shouldn't do nisuin during this period of time. So you're not allowed to do erisin during this period of time. Shabbos chol tisha b'vesocha, and once you reach even the higher level of mourning with the shvur shechabo, that situation also l'saper ulchabes, and certainly for also liaris, if you weren't allowed to have erisin the week before, so it wasn't necessary to write this down, which is why it's in parentheses. But here you're not allowed to go and take a shave or a haircut or do the laundry, the yesh omrim, and there are those that say, kol chodesh aser. There, you're not allowed to, this is our custom for most Ashkenazim, that we don't take haircuts or shave or do the laundry from already Rosh Chodesh Av. So here you see that Rav Yossi holds like this ton of this Raisa that says you're not allowed to do Erisin, therefore there is no Kal V'chomer. You're not allowed to do Erisin during this period of time, so there is no Kal V'chomer to say, well, if you can do Erisin when you can not do the laundry, so certainly when you can do the laundry, you should be allowed to do Erisin. Here, you're not allowed to do Erisin, and you can't do the laundry. More questions. This Maskev L'Ravashi, Mimai de Leores, Leores Mamish, Dilmo, L'Mevet Sudas Erisin Hudasar. Who says that we're talking here about the Erisin? Maybe we're talking about the Sudas Erisin. That's not allowed. But the actual Erusin by itself, without a Suda, holy Ares, Shaper Dami. Maybe that's actually allowed. A person would be allowed to do Erusin. It's just the Sudas Erusin that you can't do. So Gemara says, if that were the case, ihachi, if you're dealing with the Sudas Erusin, when it said, umile ores, you're dealing with the Sudas Erusin, but you're allowed to have Erusin, so then when it said right afterwards, umilisa, so then it should also be talking about the Sudas Nisuin for parallelism, but you'd be allowed to go get married. Is that true? Linase nami lemeva, Sudas Nisuin, who the usher? Is it only the Sudas Nisuin that is usher? Haliso shaper dami, but you'd be allowed to go and have Nisuin just without a Suda? That's not true. You're absolutely not allowed to have the Nisuin there. So just like when it says Umeliso, it's talking about the actual Nisuin and not the Sudas Nisuin, so too when it says Melioris, it's talking about the actual Erisin and not talking about the Sudas Erisin. Rav Ashi doesn't give up so fast. He says, are the two comparable? Hachi Hashta. He says, Bishlama, I can understand Nisuin below Suda Ika Simcha. The actual act of marriage, even if there's no Suda, that's a Simcha. So that's why Nisuin aren't allowed. And certainly a Nisuin with a Suda. However, Ela Erisin, the actual act of Erisin, if there's no Suda below Suda, Mika Simcha, it doesn't necessarily bring about any Simcha. There is no consummation of the marriage. There's no difference beforehand. They go there, they have the Erisin, they go home separately. So unless you make a Suda, there is no Simcha. So we could argue, Rav Ashi said, that there's a difference between Meliores than from Melisa. Meliores, it means the Sudas Erisin, but Erisin's allowed. And Melisa means not only is the Sudas Nisuin not allowed, but not even is Nisuin allowed. So therefore, we're left again with our original question on Rav Yossi. In fact, Erisin is permitted during this time. It's only the Sudas Erisin that's not. So therefore, we have our Kavu Chomer. So how can he say that you're not allowed to do the woman who Nebuch is a widow is not allowed to have Erisin during the 30-day mourning period of time? So the Gemara says, finally, to the conclusion, El Omer Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi would understand Rav Yossi as follows. Shaini Avelus Chadosha. There's a difference between a brand new Avelus, in other words, Nebuch, a loss of a husband, may Avelus Yishana, that is different than the loss that we suffer for the Beis HaMikdash to this very day. The shiny Avelus Derabim, and likewise, there's a difference between a public mourning such as the Churban Beis HaMikdash and an individual private, may Avelus Diyachid Nebuch, a woman mourning her lost husband. And therefore, since on Tisha B'Av, all as terrible as it is, it's not fresh, it didn't happen yesterday, even though it was supposed to feel like it happened every day. Plus, when you add on to the fact that this is a tzibur, this is a communal type of a loss, as opposed to the loss that a woman has immediately right now, Nebuch, her husband, just passed away, which is fresh, it's a brand new loss, and it's a personal loss. It affects her tremendously. So therefore, in that regard, you can't say this is a Kavu Chomer. If you're allowed to go and do Erisin in the Shvuah Shechabo, so then you certainly should be able to do Erisin during the morning. No, those two periods of time aren't the same. The morning of Tisha B'Av, the Shvuah Shechabo, is a public mourning for an event that happened many years ago. Whereas during the Shloshim period of time, it is a personal, private mourning for an event that just happened, and therefore there is no Kavu Chomer. And that's the best way to understand the difference between Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda, is only dealing with the Eivel and all other things, their Shitas are exactly the same. Let's go back to the next Mishnah. Here we start off again. We'll see that there are at least six brothers here. So we'll have Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, and Yisachar and Zvulun. You have six brothers over here. Four of them are married. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda are married. And then Nebuch, all of them die. So Vemesu, all four of the brothers that are married, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda, all die. So the Mishnah tells us, Imrotza, if Yisachar, who's the oldest remaining brother, wishes to, Hagadol Shabam, Yisachar, the oldest remaining brother, is permitted to do Yibam on all of them. Liyabim is Kulan. He can do Yibam with Reuven's wife, with Shimon's wife, with Levi's wife, and Yehuda's wife. They're unrelated women. Each of them falls separately. It's only one bias for each of them. They didn't all fall in any way related to each other. And therefore, he could theoretically have one brother, Yisachar, do Yibam with all four of them. If he wishes to do so, he's allowed to. Alternatively, they can break it up any way they want. There's four other brothers, so each one can do Yibam Chalitza with one of them. But if they want to, Yisachar, the oldest brother, could even do Yibam with all four of them. Harishus Biyado. Next case, the Mishnah says, Mishayah Nasui L'shtei Nashim V'meiz. If Reuven is married to two women, Rachel and Leah, they're not related to each other, and then he dies, V'meiz. In this situation, when Shimon does Yibam or Chalitza, he only has to do it with one of the two. Biasa o chalitzasa shel achas mehen, doing the yibam or the chalitza with only one of the two. Let's say with Rachel, poteris sarasa. So that exempts Leah, the co-wife, again unrelated co-wife, from needing to go either Yibum or Chalitza. Again, only one of the wives of Reuven needs to undergo Yibum or Chalitza, and the other one then is exempt. Again, these are things we've all learned previously. This Mishnah, which we referred to in the past, is this source. We turn to Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. The Mishnah continues, Hoysa achas kishay, ravi achas besula. If in fact one of these two wives, Rachel and Leah, one of the two wives was Kshera. What does it mean, Kshera? So Rashi says, Kshera Lakuna. She had never been previously married and divorced, so therefore she's now a widow. A widow is allowed to go marry a Kohen. The Achas Pesula, Rashi says, Kigon, she discarish him, Yishacher. Let's say Leah had previously been married to another person and got divorced from him, and then Reuven married her. So now Reuven, who is a Yisrael, is perfectly permissible to go marry a divorcee, but she still remains a divorcee in name. Even now that she's a widow, she didn't lose her status of once being a divorcee. So that's what it means. Hoyso achas kisher v'achas besula. In this situation, im hoya choleitz, if Shimon is going to do chalitza with one of these two, Rachel Leah, doesn't make a difference which one he does it with, that would exempt the other one. So the Mishnah is telling us to be smart. Choleitz lepsula. Go give the chalitza to the woman who's already forbidden to marry a Kohen because she's a Gerusha from the past, so making her chalitza doesn't change her status at all. So why ruin the other woman from being able to marry a Kohen? Don't go and spoil the water that even though you're not going to drink it, is what the way Gemara is going to explain this. So give the chalitza to the psula already, and in that situation, you've saved the one who wasn't the Gerusha. She's still a widow, so therefore she can marry a Kohen. But if Shimon wants to do Yibam, so then he has a choice. Miyabim l'ksheira. If he wishes to, he can be Miyabim to the Psula. But if he wishes to, he can be Miyabim l'ksheira. That's the way the Mefarshim understand this. He can do whichever one he wants Yibam to, because then you don't have to say, well, make him do Yibam with the Psula, because this will save the ksheira to marry a Kohen. No. If he wishes to marry through Yibam, the ksheira, he's allowed to. Okay. Gemara says, how can you tell me the Mishnah that it's only Arba Achen? Arba Achen so k'daitach, then who did the Yibam? So as I pointed out, the Mishnah is talking about a minimum of six brothers. Elema Arba Me'achen. The Mishnah is talking about four of the brothers are married, and therefore there has to be at least the Yisachar and Zulam, because it has to be the older of the remaining brothers. If there wasn't, then of course Yisachar has to do it. So there's a Yisachar and a Zulam. There could be a Dan and Naphtali, Gad v'Yasher as well. But the oldest one, if he wishes to, is allowed to do Yibam on all of them. Or Shus B'Yadu, as we quote the Mishnah. He's allowed to do this. Bishav Kilei? Really? Will the Beis Din allow him to do this? But after all, we see elsewhere the Braisa tells us, Votanya, Vikarulo Zikni Iro, as the Pasuk says, that the Zakenim go and talk to this person before he does Yibam. And they say to him, is this a smart thing to do? Hain, Velo Shluchan. They themselves, it says, Vikarulo Zikni Iro, they themselves should go speak to him and not via a messenger, to show the importance of what they're about to say. V'dibri lov, and they speak to him. What does it mean, v'dibri lov? It means, melameh shemesin lo etzu genis lo. They tell him, let's be very smart about this. Is this a good Yibam situation for you to do? Yes, you're allowed to go do Yibam, but is it smart for you to do Yibam? For example, Shemaya, who yelled it? He's an 18-year-old kid. He's a Canaan. She's a 40-year-old lady. It was his much older brother. He's the youngest brother. He's the only one that wants to do Yibam. So he's an 18-year-old kid, and he's going to marry this 40-year-old lady. Not a smart idea. Or vice versa. Who's our Canaan? He's a much older brother. And Nebuch, the younger brother, died. So he's 50 years old, and this widow is an 18-year-old girl. Who's our Canaan? He yelled her. So then in that situation, based in v'dibre love means, omrimla, they tell him, malachetzel yada, why are you, an older man, getting involved over here with a young woman? It doesn't make any sense. Or, again, you're a young man, malachetzel zekena, what are you getting involved over here with a much older woman? Klachetzel kishkamoscha, go and marry somebody closer to your age. Either if you're older, go marry somebody closer to your age, an older woman, or if you're younger, go marry a woman that's closer to your age, a younger woman. Because it's not going to be good, these what we call July-December weddings, they're not going to be successful. The age discrepancy is too much to make this a successful marriage. So therefore, how can you tell me that they allow one guy, Yisachar, to go do Yibam 104? That doesn't make sense. That doesn't sound like a Dovar Hogenislo. That doesn't sound like it's a smart thing to do. So the Gemara says, yeah, lo tzricha the Evshale. In this situation, it was a smart thing. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. This guy's very, very wealthy, and he's a very generous person, and there's no problem for him to go and marry four women. It's not going to cause ketata in his life. He can support all four. Somewhere says, so then, why did it only give us the case of four? If you're trying to teach us this principle, so you should have said there were six brothers, Nebuch, that died, and he married six women. Why did you say only four? So Gemara says, this is Eitzah Tova Komashul, and this is giving a good advice over here. What's the good advice? The advice is that up to four is a reasonable thing if you can financially afford it. Arba in, but tvelo, even if you can afford it, you're a very, very wealthy person, don't take more than four wives. Ki hechi dinimtaya, the whole idea of having the four wives is so that each week, you'll have ona with one of them. You'll have responsibilities in terms of the marital relationship with one of them. And therefore, in a week period of time, you would have relations. Let's say on a Friday night, that was the normal time that they would have relations. They were busy working all week, so they would have relations on a Friday night. So you'd have four different Friday nights in the month. You would have relations with the four different wives. But more than that, it's going to lead to ketatah. It's going to lead to difficulties or fights in the house. And that's why they said the maximum is four. Again, no mitzvah. We never find the mitzvah anywhere for a man to take more than one wife, even in the days it was permitted. But since, of course, the days or Rabbeinu Gershom, or Hagola, at least for Ashkenazim, we're forbidden to take more than one wife at the same time. Then we quote the Mishnah, it says, Mishai Nasu v'chule, if a person was married to the two women, and Nebuchadnezzar passed away, Reuven's married to Rachel, and he passed away, so Shimon only has to do Yibum and Chalitza with one of the two, whichever one he wants to, ideally, unless there was a reason like the Echad Kshere, Echad Psula, he can do Chalitza with either one of them, or Yibum with either one of them, and that exempts the other one. So our questions, why can't he do Yibum with both of them? What would be terrible? Reuven was married to both of them, so why couldn't Shimon do Yibum with both of them and marry both of them? So because of the Pasuk, Amar Kra, Asher lo Yivne es Beis Ochiv. Beis Ochiv implies, Beis Echad Bone, Veno Bone Shtei Batim. He only builds one house up from Nebuch, Reuven's widows, and not two. No, so the word says, okay, the nachlutz of Tavayu, but let him do chalitza to both of them. That's not a problem, or it seems like it shouldn't be a problem. So on this, Amar Razut Rabat Tuvia, he says, Amar Kra, the pasuk says, Beis chalutz hanoal. It implies one shoe is removed. Bayis echad hu choletz, and choletz shnei batim. So the widow is, one widow does the chalitza, and not both of them. The word says, okay, unayabim l'chodah v'nichlutz l'chodah, let him do yibun to one, and then do chalitza to the other. Some agoras over here, that's not allowed. You can't do the chalitza first, because once you do the chalitza, then the isser of eshesach takes effect, and you wouldn't be allowed to do yibum. But if you did the yibum first, so then the chalitza, how could that possibly be a bad thing? So again, here the pasuk says, "I'm a kra im lo yachpots." The pasuk says that if the man doesn't wish to take her in yibum, so then you have to do chalitza. Implication being, and we had this previously, ha'chofetz yabim. If he wishes to, he has to do yibum. So what do we learn out from here? A very important idea. Kol ha'ola l'yibum, ola l'chalitza. If a woman is able to have yibum done to her, so then she can have chalitza done to her. But kol she'ein ola l'yibum, if you can't do yibum with her, then we don't do chalitza. And ola l'chalitza as well. In addition to that, va'od, another reason why we don't do chalitza, is shelo yomru, so people shouldn't mistakenly think that, oh, part of the house he rebuilt by doing Yibum to one, and the other part he didn't rebuild, he did Chalitza to the other. So we don't want people to say that. The Gemara says, no, and if they say that, what's the terrible? What's the Omru? So the Gemara says, no. If you in fact did Yibum and then did the Chalitza, as we said, in that order, so then there's no Takala that could come. Wouldn't be the end of the world. Hochanami, okay, no harm if you did Chalitza to a woman, unnecessarily. Ella, but maybe Dilma, you know what's going to happen? Maybe Chalitz, he's going to do the Chalitza first and then Vahadim Yabin. And that would be a problem because now she's no longer an Eishas Achbim Akum Mitzvah. And therefore, Vekomle below Yivna. As soon as you do Chalitza to the first one, we had this Machlokas earlier. What is the status of the other ones? Bechlokas Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish. But everybody says that you're not letting go, then do Yibam to the second one. So therefore, we don't let you do Yibam and then Chalitza because you may do Chalitza and then Yibam. Gemara questions this further and says, maybe the Eima you should say, if there's only one wife, so then there's a mitzvah, tiskayim mitzvah yibam. However, kiikotarti, maybe if a person has two wives, lo tiskayim mitzvah yibam. Maybe there is no mitzvah yibam in that situation. Gemara questions that and says, no, that can't be. Imkain, if that were right, tsaras erva, the asa rachmana, the fact that the Torah has to tell us that the tsara of an erva doesn't require yibam chalitza, the very first mishnah that we had in this entire mesechta, lamali, why would I need that? If you're telling me that if you have more than one wife, there is no mitzvah of yibam chalitza, so then you would have to tell me that the tsara's erva is paturim and not yibam chalitza. Hashta tarte bi'ama, because if you have two wives in general, there's no mitzvah of yibum chalitza. I'm a slab b'nei chalitza of yibum minhu. So certainly, tzara serva, mi boy, why would you have to tell me? Didn't tzara serva? How would it be different than any situation with the two wives? So obviously, that can't be the case. Mor says, not so fast. Alam alam. Why not? Maybe you need to tell me specifically that tzara serva doesn't require yibum chalitza because of the following thinking. Itzrich, you need to bedavka tell me that. Because solka died dechaminach, I would have said on my own, erva, the woman who is the erva, Abroi Kaima, she's considered outside. She's not in the din of Yibam. And when you have Rachel and Leah, where Rachel is the daughter of Shimon, so then she doesn't fall to Yibam, and she's totally out of the picture. I would have said Erva, the Erva Rachel in this situation, Abroi Kaima. She's totally out of it. And therefore, there is only one woman falling to Yibam, Leah. And the Tisyabim Sarasa, and I would have said on my own that you'd have to do Yibam with Leah, because there's not two wives here. This is it. There's only one wife in regards to the din of Yibam. So that's why Kamashulon the Asira. That's why you need a specific pasuk telling me that even in this situation, there is no Yibam. But in a regular case where there's two wives, maybe there is no Yibam. So where it says Taka, that is a good point. However, that's why it says Yivimto twice. Ela Yivimto, Yivimto Riva. In the pasuk of Yibam, it tells us Vimlo Yachbotsu Ish Lakachas Es Yivimto. The man doesn't want to go take his Yivimto, one, but also Yivimto. And then it says again, Yivimto Hashairo El Zakanim. So both of those times, it wasn't necessary to say either Yibam. So that comes to teach us both of these dinim. Finally, we quote the Mishnah. We said, we said that if one of the women was potentially still able to marry a Kohen because she was only a widow, the other one had been previously divorced, so she's called Psula. It's because she can't marry a Kohen. So we said, if you're doing Chalitza, go and do the Chalitza on the one that's already possible to marry a Kohen rather than making the other one, who is a widow, who is Muteris LeKohen, now also to marry a Kohen as well by being a Chalutza. I mean, the Rabbanim should be not allowed to marry a Kohen. This is based, the principle, Amar Rav Yosef says, Kan Shona Rebbe, this is what Rebbe taught us, a very smart thing. He says, Lo Yishpoch Adam Ne Borov, don't pour out the water from your well, V'yachayim Tzvichamem, but other people still need that water. In other words, don't poison the well just because you don't need it, so don't let somebody else not be able to get the benefit from it. So this woman over here, she is technically already not allowed to marry a Kohen, so do the Chalitza to her because it doesn't change your status at all. I, the other one, if you did the Chalitza to her, you now limit the pool of eligible women for the Kohanim. So why ruin something when there's no reason to do so? That's what Rabbi Yosef taught us from Rebbe, a very smart idea and a wonderful way for us to conclude today's daf. Again, we learned this daf, Lila Nishmas, my father, Yosef Nisa Ben Yechezkel, his holy neshama should get an aliyah from all of our learning. Thank you very much for listening. By the way, for those that are interested, there is up on YU Torah, the shiur that I gave last night, something to say at the Seder. If you want to chop it in still before Pesach and listen to it and have something to say at the Seder, please go to YU Torah and look for something to say at the Seder, 5782, under my name. Have a wonderful day.